You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It is the Unpack Podcast here from AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation. Talking about your in the playoffs Green Bay Packers. I am Zach Rapport, dialing it in from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Follow me at Zach Rapport on Twitter and Instagram and all that fun stuff. Follow the show at The Unpack Pod on all of those platforms. We are coming to you today, excitedly, via the official Glenn's Not Dead Yet Memorial Zencaster account. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it. The Bears still suck. The Packers are in the playoffs. We got Alex. We got Nick. How's it going, guys?
Great. Couldn't really be better, I think.
We have playoff football. What else could you ask for?
What else could you ask for? Let's talk about this hat, Nick, real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
For those not present on our...
so everyone listening.
On our Zoom call here. We've got a 1996 Green Bay Packers Super Bowl hat, which I was going to ask you, cut me off in the pre-show. I was going to ask you if you even remember that game, and turns out you do.
The answer is no. I would have been five or six.
Oh my God. I'm so old.
Yeah. Man. You're the old guy holding this down. You can remember.
Alex,
the
do you remember this game?
No. I remember the following year.
Remember the following year. Okay, so you're coming into coherency at that point.
Yeah. I remember my first of many heartbreaks with this team.
That's right.
It's amazing that I became a Packers fan, if that's literally one of the earliest games I can remember watching and for some reason rooting for them. I've basically just been addicted to pain ever since. So, you know.
Well, nonetheless, it's a sweet hat. I wish I had that hat.
Yeah, this is like, it's like an heirloom that was passed down to me. I probably shouldn't even be wearing it, but it was dusted off after spending a lot of time in some attic somewhere in, I think, my grandparents' home. And I'm like, this hat's too sweet not to wear. And today's a special occasion, so here it is as I don on my little head here. Very elated.
My little head. Not only do I remember that game, but I remember a couple days after the game being allowed to stay home from school to watch the return to Titletown like broadcast, where the team comes back and they have a big reception at Lambeau and everyone's elated because the team had sucked for 30 years. Mm. And it was a big deal. And there were a lot of the townie vibes were strong on the local news broadcast of the return to Titletown. We taped it on a VHS, and like every couple years we'd break it. It has aged like fine wine. But enough about the past. Let's talk about the present, because that is also awesome. As it turns out, the Packers beating the Bears. Let's just get into notable nuggets here. Hashtag note nugs. Tweet at us after every game with your takeaways. I'll go first. My notable nugget is that I owe this offensive coaching staff an apology. I was very critical earlier in the year of the offensive coordinator, of the offensive line coach, and by extension, Matt LaFleur. And it hasn't been perfect, but they've really come together. They've really pulled off something special. And will they win in Dallas? I don't know. I tend to think probably not. We'll wait. Maybe not put those vibes out into the world yet, but it's just been a special season. And I'm sorry. This is an official apology to the coaching staff, particularly the offensive line. I'd be interested, once all is said and done this season, to get someone like Justice on to talk about what he saw down the stretch with them, because it was looking pretty rough earlier in the year.
Yeah, they couldn't figure out what those rotations looked like for a long time. It just seemed like there wasn't consistency there, but that like married with, we've talked about it a handful of times, like wide receivers running wrong routes.
How could I forget to mention that? Or wide receivers running no routes.
Yeah.
Or running the same route and crashing into each other.
Yeah, it was a perfect storm of, I don't want to say incompetence, but just like, you know, youth early on that didn't allow, like, one element of the offense didn't perform well enough to pick another up. So it's all coming together at the right time. Yeah, and then, like, Aaron Jones over the last couple of weeks. Like, we can't not make mention of how important that is to letting, you know, all of this stuff blossom in a really nice way. So
yeah, I mean, he's special, he's still got it, but some of that success also offensive line coming together, because mm-hmm. that performance was not happening 2 months ago.
Correct. Yeah, it's, and like, no, I don't know if any of us thought Bakhtiari was gonna, at the beginning of the season, make it anywhere close to the end of the season. We thought he'd make it more than one game, probably. But down the stretch, it didn't really matter very much. I mean, so.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting situation in the offseason. What happens with David Bakhtiari?
Yeah.
I had another thought off of this, and it's just gone. I'm just riding high. I'm just feeling good. Someone else give me a nugget.
Alex, you go.
Okay, so I don't remember if it was actually before the season began or if it was early in the season, but we did a little round of everyone predicting what Chekhov's gun would be for this Packers team. So I want to go back to what my prediction was, because I said that, I don't even know if it's fair to say that this is a Chekhov's gun, but very simply just injuries and health would do this team in. I mentioned having an already inexperienced team probably couldn't afford to lose any starters or veterans that play key roles. I don't think that's the Chekhov's gun. In fact, the Packers are getting healthier than they have been pretty much all season at the right time, and getting some of their best players, a la Aaron Jones, and experienced players back at the right time. And then you look forward to this game against the Cowboys. You know, I know Christian Watson is still uncertain. I think Romeo Doubs is too, although, like, if I had to guess, I think Doubs will be playing. The Packers released an injury report today, day of recording. Only A.J. Dillon was listed as out, but these were kind of estimates because they only really had a walkthrough, so it's not like a contact practice. But I say all that to say that a season that looked like it could be easily derailed by injuries before the Packers kind of got hot, before Jordan Love went on this kind of like tear of playing, quite frankly, like, you know, MVP caliber football for the last 8 weeks or whatever it is.
Back to back NFC player of the week.
Yeah, baby.
I say all that to say that, you know, they're peaking and recovering at the right time. So I don't know that I would say that I could predict them to win. So usually Chekhov's gun is like the thing that ends us. You know, barring some type of really terrible thing that I don't even want to speak into existence about number 10 on Sunday, I don't think injuries would be the reason that this season comes to an end.
First of all,
so I was wrong, and I'm happy to be wrong.
I'll say two things. One is, look at you, man. Extra credit for taking notes on something earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And following through. I was like, as soon as you said that you were like referencing back, I'm like, wait, do I have a document? Is there something?
I was going to say, you didn't happen to write down our Chekhov's gun, did you?
I was going through this in my head, I could almost remember like the episode, but right now, you know, that was like 2 hours ago, which also extra credit for preparing more than an hour before this show, or more than a few minutes before. I don't have it right now. I'm sorry. It'll come to me at some point.
The second thing I was going to say is that one of our Chekhov's gun candidates has to have been a name that starts with J and sounds like Mo Larry.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Absolutely. And I don't know that we knew enough about him yet to name someone that sounds like Xander's Tarleson, but you know, he could easily be one too.
Xander's, that's a fun one.
I feel like special teams was kind of the genesis of Chekhov's gun, actually, as far as this podcast goes, because it was bad for so long and we would always be talking about it.
Shout out Ben Foldy, former co-host.
Yeah. So, but I don't think anyone named him either.
I'm pretty sure, as I think back on it, which has been the theme of pretty much everything all season, I'm confident either you or I, Zach, I think it might have been me, just said youth in general. And it's been a totally different story.
Still been an issue.
Of course.
You know, like the series of plays at the end of the first half against Chicago, like there's youth at play there preventing them from putting points on the board heading into halftime.
Yeah.
But it's not, they're not, it's not like in years past when we'd say like, special teams is the Chekhov's gun. It's because the punt returner cannot field punts at any point.
Right.
Any points. It hasn't been that bad.
Yeah. What I find interesting about the youth point, and maybe a sports psychologist somewhere could like tell us about this. And it also kind of plays into my thing about them being healthy and also like injuries not derailing them, because guys like Dontayvion Wicks and Bo Melton and stuff have stepped up. What I find impressive is that the youth on this team that I think has been most exciting are generally players where there weren't much expectation from, right? Like, it's not like we've been absolutely blown away by Christian Watson, even Musgrave. Like, I know he was injured, but it's like, you know, a tier below Musgrave is Kraft, who's probably been the best tight end on this team. Two wide receivers who are not Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson are, you know, have been our best two performers down the stretch. I guess Jaden Reed is in there, and I guess you could say that there were some expectations of him. But I wonder if there's something to the fact that these were like fringe roster guys that had to step in and like they don't have that weight on their shoulders or whatever it is. Or maybe it's just because everything clicks when your quarterback just starts getting it. I don't know what it is. But it's pretty insane that they've been able to sustain what they've been doing with, you know, some of their most dangerous players out.
That's true.
And I factor Aaron Jones in that too. Not that a running back necessarily stepped up in his absence, but the productivity didn't necessarily go away, and it was made up for in other ways. And you know, that's finding creative ways to get Jaden Reed the ball, etc. So totally. That's pretty damn cool.
I think that goes back to coaching, and I lost my train of thought earlier. The other thing that I wanted to say on the back of my note nug is Matt LaFleur is not going to be the coach of the year, but he is the coach of the year in my heart. And I don't want him to actually win the real coach of the year award, because that's almost like a Madden curse kind of thing. Like most coaches that win coach of the year have overperformed and never see success like that again. I actually don't want that award, but in my heart this year, Matt LaFleur coach of the year.
I agree. And it's probably the second time at least that he's maybe the most deserving person for it. And you know, winning 13 games back in the Rodgers days, you know, right stepping in right away, I think it was deserving. But this is more impressive. We gave him a lot of crap throughout the year, and I know Zach, you already apologized. I want to jump onto that apology bandwagon, and while he still gives, you know, sometimes like, you know, somewhat scared energy,
an overwrought vibes. Sort of vibe. Yeah,
he doesn't coach like it at all. I mean, I find it hard to believe that there are many other coaches in this league who would be able to get out of this offense, this roster, what he's been able to get out of it, because. Yeah. It wasn't that many weeks ago that we were comparing like the receivers the Packers were fielding to that Arizona playoff game when Rodgers had like Jared Aberderis, Jeff Janis, and like, I can't even remember the other guy. Because everyone was hurt, and we were like, which receiving core was worse? And one of them is going to the playoffs with a first year starter. So
Trevor Davis on that team?
Maybe. He might have been, or like Jared Boykin maybe was still around.
Remember him?
That's a good one for like to sit around and just name names.
Naming some guys coming this summer. The naming some guys edition of the Untapped Pod. All right, Nick, give me a note nug.
Yeah, I mean, mine is sort of adjacent to that, but it's just like round of applause for Dontayvion Wicks. Some of those routes that he ran in this last Bears game, like the separation, and I spent a lot of time saying like I want to get away from comparisons in the last episode, but like it's Davante Adams style level of separation, like not needing to do much with your arms and just like move, and all of a sudden you've got like 5 yards of distance between you and the D-back. It's so cool to like that first throw that Jordan Love made off his back foot. He was like, by the time he like made his way through his progression, Wicks was so open in the end zone. He's just like, holy hell, how did you get here? Bam, touchdown. But
he's kind of been doing that all year, and it's just taken a while for it to come together.
Yeah. And that's sort of like Alex, you mentioned like guys that we didn't have high expectations of going into the season, or like, you know, grandiose expectations of, like Wicks fell to where he fell because of a less than stellar 2002 season when he was at Virginia. But if you look at his 2001 season, like he was like an all ACC player. He had over 1,000 yards. He was like an incredible asset to that team. And then like a team marred with like Brennan Armstrong was the quarterback, and he was a quarterback that second year as well, but he had like this crazy regression. And, you know, the second year he started or whatever, he was like a Maxwell Award finalist or semifinalist, like Johnny Unitas Golden Arm finalist. Like he was decorated, and this regression marred with like some of that tragedy that happened with Virginia, like whatever. Like there were a bunch of extenuating circumstances that like could have led to Wicks, you know, not performing as well, but he was a guy that like all praise goes to Goody. Like you grab this dude who was like ready to perform on this team and stepped in and has done such a good job. So like he's, in my book, he's sort of overtaken the role that like Romeo has on the outside. Like I think Love trusts him more than Dobbs. Like he's like, and he plays in the slot all the time too, but like it's Reed, Wicks, and Kraft right now who are sort of anchoring this like receiving core, which we would have never thought going into the season.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see where this goes next year. And you mentioned Goot. I mean, talk about blank of the year, like executive of the year, maybe. I don't know. There's no curse, I don't think, associated with executive of the year, but to take a team where you basically turned over all your veteran players and drafted 13 players, all of which are still NFL players, most of whom on this team, and to make the playoffs, to be a year ahead of schedule, to be like, to have your rebuild take a couple months in season is pretty remarkable. And I mean, I hope we can sustain that success. I don't know if we're counting our chickens a little early, but early returns, very positive on the executive function this year.
Yeah, maybe so. But like, this is how Super Bowl teams are crafted. This is how consistency is crafted. It's built in this way. So you have like, you don't have these major contracts out there. So when the time comes, when cap space is freed up a little bit, like you can go out and get some of those acquisitions that like put you over the top, a la Charles Woodson or whoever from the past. It's a really exciting place to be in looking towards the future.
Yeah. Some note nugs coming in from Twitter. Tyler tweeting in, give Love the Mahomes contract. I don't know about that, but we did talk contract earlier in the season, and I feel like there was some trepidation. Like maybe there's some kind of extension. We can get him on the cheap. Some people were very, very wait and see. Where are we now, fellas? I feel like we're locking this guy in for like 40 years.
Back up the Brinks truck.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a contract you can give him right now that's not a mutually beneficial one.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, I agree. I mean, I just really can't believe it. Like, I just I can't.
They did it again.
I can't believe that that we're here. And yeah, it's not I hate to be absolute about anything, but history would suggest, based on his productivity levels, that it's not a fluky thing and that it's real. And also just considering what's around him and how little football he's played, there is no reason to believe that he can't be better than he has been. And even if he is just consistently what he has been this year, like, that's still in this league good enough if you have the right players.
Even
around,
if on balance throughout his career he's top 15 with stretches of top 10, that's good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And and you said it, the ceiling looks higher than that right now.
Yeah. And we always, I feel like, described him as someone, from the very limited glimpses we got of him, as someone with, you know, whose floor is not that low. But then at the start of this year, there were times that he was kind of just lingering at that floor. But that floor has since been raised. It's disbelief at times that this, like, only because, like, we've seen so many, like, franchises who just can never do, like, there are franchises who in my lifetime have not had one this caliber, you know, like, it's absolutely bonkers, man. If you're the rest of the NFC North, or the NFC in general, or just someone who has a general distaste for the Packers, which is probably a lot of people, let's be real, we're pretty obnoxious. You have to be so mad.
I mean, you know, the Bears, again, who have been swept for the unteamed time, are probably moving on from Fields, probably drafting a quarterback. They're doing the same rinse repeat that they did the year that they drafted Fields, which is that they're keeping the coach but gutting the staff. So it's kind of like a lame duck coach situation. So they're going to get a young coach. They're going to get a young quarterback in there who's going to play his rookie season under a coach who's not going to be there the next year. I have every faith in the world in the Chicago Bears stunting the growth of another quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, you said it, there's a number of teams like that. Chicago is the example that comes to mind because we just played them there in the division, but there are many a team who seem to excel at not having a good quarterback.
Isn't it amazing too that the Bears, you know, kind of went into this season with some hope that I think we all called out as like unwarranted, but also just joy around the fact that, like, the Packers would not be contenders, not Super Bowl contenders, but even like playoff contenders, that they could be like a 5-6 win team. And they're sitting here now. Yeah. I mean, they must feel really good about their draft capital, but also a change at quarterback and a lack of faith in anyone actually developing that quarterback. And, oh, by the way, a brand new coaching staff other than the head coach, which is a weird one to me. You know, so
it must have been a negotiation piece. Like, you have to clear house if you want to stick around.
I wonder what that does, and this is a total, like, aside, has nothing to do with the Packers, but just generally, like, reputation-wise in the league, like, does he have to kind of, like, sign off on that himself? And, like, what does that do to the relationships you have? Because, like, generally when coaches get hired, they bring in their guys, right? Like, their staff is all guys they probably worked with before. But, like, I wonder what that does to his relationships with those guys, because, like, he sucks. You know, like, he's not very good either, but he gets to keep his job.
Yeah.
And these guys are just tarnished and get tossed away.
Yeah.
But, like, whose fault is that really? You know, like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
That'd be like, you know, it'd be like almost like Matt LaFleur, like, firing Joe Barry and not taking any accountability for the defense. Oh, wait, that's exactly what we
almost
want.
Almost like that.
To happen.
Yeah.
And we are dangerously close to that being an impossibility, by the way. But anyway.
Yep. We got PJ.
We are one bad Dak Prescott playoff game away from that. You realize that, right? Yep. And that's not a crazy thing to envision.
PJ tweeted in his note nunc, Joe Barry just led a defense that stopped the Bears from scoring a touchdown. That's probably enough for Matt to keep him around next season. I wouldn't go that far just yet, but
it's the Bears.
Let's hope not. I don't know. He's stuck around through a lot thus far and got hired on a, it wasn't even like he like plagiarized his resume. Everybody knew what he had done in the past.
Yeah, it's out there. There's statistical records of it. Yeah. It's on TV every single week. It's not like me when I like, you know, just tweak my title and, you know, exactly what I was doing according to the job I apply for.
Incredible. One final note nug and then we'll take it a break and do some poetry. John tweeting in. We'll give him the music because
oh, wow.
Chicago beaten with nary a punt in sight. Playoffs now beckon. Hashtag haiku nug.
Yeah.
Nice job.
We'll be right back, guys.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, we are back, and we're going right back behind the curtain for some poetry. Bred to hate dem boys, but it's lonely being a warrior sometimes. It's the McCarthy Bowl, baby!
Oh, man.
Alex, tell me how you feel about the McCarthy Bowl. I'm sure you got all kinds of feels.
I am not conflicted in any way because that would suggest that I would feel bad about the Packers winning this game. However, I, from a matchup perspective, I think I prefer this to the other options. Maybe. Actually, I think I would have preferred to play Detroit.
I would have preferred the Lions. Yeah.
From a emotional perspective, this was the matchup I did not want. I don't know. I'm conflicted. You know, because I know, like, if he's the coach to lose to this team, forget just the Packers past, right? Just like Cowboys, huge expectations, finally a great year, really explosive offense. If they go out and they lay an egg, like we've seen a McCarthy offense do in a meaningful playoff game here or there, you know, because it's the Cowboys, he's going to get so much heat, and the man has been through so much already, like when he's really done such a great job in his two head coaching gigs in this league. But I don't know. I guess I'm also a little excited. It doesn't have the same pizzazz as it would now that we have a new quarterback that he's got no ties to.
Yeah.
Like it's such a new era team. Like there's none of that juice is really left. Yeah, I really wish it were someone else, but I'm excited for it. I poured myself a giant glass of Coke Zero to purposefully drink soda so that I could burp a lot during the show, but I actually finished it so early that I feel like I'm not even like gassy.
Can't get the McCarthy anymore. Burp going.
Yeah, hey, I thought so. Zach teed you up for a nice belch right at the beginning there.
Yeah, I know, but I decided to pass on it. Maybe before the show is out. But yeah.
Coke Zero, not an official sponsor of the show, but according to Alex Patakis, the only Coke you need.
Definitely. It tastes better than the one that has real sugar. And maybe what I'm drinking is worse than drinking sugar, but I mean, it's the only one I could tolerate now.
It's definitely like some kind of very strange chemical that's doing weird things to your insides. But so is regular Coke. So
yeah,
it's all bad. Drink water, folks.
Yeah, generally, I would say just don't drink soda if you could avoid it. But when you're doing a damp January,
a moist January,
sometimes you need something other than water because you've been drinking water all day and all week. And coffee at this hour probably isn't the move. So
what is a damp January? Is that like you'd only drink once a week?
Yeah, it's just not quite dry, but not.
Open for interpretation.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Not a monsoon like my normal like months. I don't know. Somewhere in between, the middle ground.
We're a Topo Chico household over here.
There you go.
Although I found out it's quite high in microplastics, but I also found out today via headline that just bottled water in general is high in microplastics. So anything you ingest.
I mean, we all got a. Die of something, so
might as well be slowly becoming 40% plastic that kills us all.
Yep.
I think whatever's in Coke Zero is the least of my worries. I also happen to live next to a Superfund site, so I'm probably breathing in some things that, like, you know, are register on like the highest toxicity scale that there is. So
yeah, you live on some type of like biohazardous bog.
Yeah. Exactly.
Aaron Brockovich walking around your neighborhood. All right. Who's next on the poetry?
Go.
You'll go?
Right. I feel like Nick put his is like a good finisher, I think, from what I've heard.
All right.
His whispers. An ancient scripture of almost mythical throes. May need updating. I'm glad I stumbled. There was once a time back in the old radio days where I think a good friend of ours, Mr. Gabe Neitzel, ESPN Milwaukee legend, just did like a whole hour of radio just going back and forth listing off our favorite and most memorable Aaron Rodgers throws. I'll put the recorder in the jar. Bing. It wasn't like in it.
Doesn't matter. Rules are rules.
I didn't even mention the late night host. Come on. And that's like low hanging fruit. There was once a time where we just traded like throws back and forth and basically created this list. And this was like, you know, with many years of him in Green Bay left. And I've forgotten about that. I've accepted that list is to be retired. But I think we have a couple nominations from Jordan Love already that might go on that list. Yeah. And I just can't believe that we're saying that. And the one, there was a few in this game, but for me, for some reason, I think the like mentality that it takes to throw the ball that he threw to Melton, like the, I know you're covered. I don't give a shit. I'm zipping this in there so hard, like right off your, like the back of your skull. So there's nothing you can do about it. That one is going to stick with me for a long time, and it's very, very different, but I think the feeling it gave me was my favorite of the throws that I nominated for that list, which was, there's this one play against the Minnesota Vikings a long time ago. It was like over the middle to Jordy Nelson, and it was just like, it literally whistled.
Oh yeah. The ear hole throw.
Contact.
Oh yeah.
To the ear hole of, oh my God. He was a longtime Viking linebacker who was super annoying. I'm blanking on his name right now. But it had that kind of mentality. Like, it was real like gunslinger mentality, but with also ridiculous accuracy and trusting your guy to make a play. So it's a spiritual touchdown in my book, even though it's not a actual touchdown. So that one will go on that list. And And before we know it, Love's going to have his own little list of these. It's pretty insane.
There are some very, very legitimate nominations in 1 year of starting. I will give you that.
Yeah. I mean, we were questioning the accuracy and arm talent in general. Like, the first half of this year, like, this guy can't throw downfield. And now all of a sudden, like, I kind of forgot all about that. I'm like, this guy's arm is insane.
It was almost like we were like, we know he has the capability to do that. Why, what is like stymieing that from happening? Yeah. So, but yeah, to your point, like, it's like we're living in two different seasons almost. Like, I don't know what the actual turning point was. Like, feels like that Lions game to me was like, oof, like now we're playing with the big boys. But he had some of those, you know, those really talented throws early in the season. But yeah, now it's just effort. I shouldn't say effortless, but it feels that way. He makes it look like so poised and then just oof, launch.
Yeah. Just give you all kinds of feelings when they, those things happen.
I am now, down, I'm already deep down a YouTube rabbit hole trying to find it's hard to find that Jordy Nelson catch because there are so many touchdowns against the Vikings.
I don't think it was a touchdown. That might be or was it? Did he take it to he might have actually taken it the distance, but it was a lot of yak. I honestly remember tweeting like a screen grab of it. So if I go back to my Twitter and go all the way back to like 2014 or something, I could probably find it. Or 15. But
touchdown. Is it this one?
Anyway.
It's not that one. All right. Now I'm just mumbling as I look at YouTube. Someone out there knows it. Tweet at us at the Unpack Pod. Send us the link so we can relive the glory. But as you said, Alex, I think we've got a new pastime. We've got new highlights to collect. So maybe that'll be a fun exercise this off season. It's kind of like compiling that list and then we can have a running document going forward. I know that acmepackingcompany.com every year does their like top plays as voted on by the contributors. So I'm sure there'll be more than a few probably on that list.
Yeah. And even the ones that don't look quite as crazy. I mean, we were Nick and I were watching this game together. I mean, we went absolutely nuts on the first touchdown that he threw off of his back foot. Like, I don't know.
The fadeaway jumper.
But it's so weird because it's like, you know, like this guy, like this guy was playing quarterback before he was an understudy to you know who. But like, does he really sit there and like study these habits and then just like actually just like pick them? Because it's like, some of that stuff isn't stuff that you would want to coach into him.
Yeah.
So like, but it's happening. Yeah. And the result is similar.
I mean, I'm sure you see the guy in front of you who's an all-time great doing some of that stuff in practice. And you're like, I want to do that. That's fun. I mean, it's similarly, you know, with the former guy to Favre. I just think it's interesting, as you pointed out, how those past Hall of Famers have like some of their habits, and one habit from this guy, another habit from that guy has like seems to be like trickling in to the Love arsenal. I'll be interested to see next season, early in the season, what he looks like, because I have a hunch that they'll spend some time this offseason working on fundamentals, saying, hey, you don't need to have, you know, both legs off the ground when you're throwing some of these passes. It's like you can use, you know, fundamentals. You can use, you know, leverage in your hips and feet and throw a proper ball.
So long as they don't tweak it so much.
Yeah.
You know, just a little shove in that direction.
You don't want
I think
dull
it's good
shine,
for everyone.
But you definitely,
yeah, of course not.
All right. Nick, Mr. Championship hat over here.
That's right.
You ready to read some poetry?
I am. Okay. And we're, as promised last week, we're taking a different turn for the playoffs. It's about time. A maiden voyage with Love at the helm. Expectations scattershot and unfair. An odyssey much poised to underwhelm. What was uncovered is something quite rare. Against odds, nary an expert to learn. His journey ends now and here, it was told. To shape the future, as the past has seen, youth, love, and trust value greater than gold. A foundation laid in a future bright, the past rears its head in a different form. A friend turned foe with a hero to smite, but this hero already faced the storm. In Lambeau's hallowed halls, the echoes sound. Youth is not wasted, as love knows no bounds.
You know when they do like the lead in to the broadcast and they have somebody like, you know, someone with a very amazing, you know, voice that resonates with so many people around, and they like they read a script basically when they're showing highlights to hype up the game. Mm-hmm. I feel like they could just do that. Like they could just take that. Yeah, I don't know why like the medieval theme would actually work its way into this broadcast, but like, you know, if they were to, they could just like clip that audio and do it, or just like hand it over to like John Hamm or someone to voice.
The autumn yeah. wind is a raider.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had John Hamm's voice, man, we'd be going places.
I think one of my favorite things about this poem is actually imagining you like at work writing this. So like everyone, like you're just on your laptop and everyone just assumes that everyone else is working or dicking
it's
off
like
in some capacity.
The screen when someone walks right. by, it's like the hallowed halls of Lambeau. Hey, Nick. Yeah.
There's like biz dev nonsense happening in the background. There's sales calls going on. A manager is walking by. Someone's going to get coffee and you're literally writing a long form poem about the Green Bay Packers to read later on in your fake internet sports talk show.
On Zoom, on camera, but on mute.
Yep.
looking like you're furious.
Oh, yeah. Were you on a Zoom call when you wrote that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's this has been a work in progress for the entire day in between calls. And then, yeah, counting syllables probably on camera. Like, oh, wait. Yeah, Nick, did you have a question? Yeah. Nope, sorry.
That's great.
Oh man. But yeah, the theme, which I mean, you get a lot more ground to cover when you have as many syllables as a sonnet offers, much more than a haiku. But the general theme was just, you know, the odyssey of Jordan Love and this youthful Packers throughout the entire season. And when I say the hero has already faced the storm, it's like the house money thing. Like that's like if we beat McCarthy, if we lose to McCarthy, like the story's already sort of been written. It's like if like of this season, we've already exceeded expectations. This Packers team has exceeded expectations, gone far above and beyond. The youthfulness has impressed. It's the youngest team to make it, you know, to the playoffs in however long. So the rest is just gravy. It's just a cherry on top, or multiple cherries on top, depending on what happens. So it's beautiful. I don't even know how to articulate it outside of my sonnet, because I'm just like ecstatic to be here.
Yeah,
it makes being a fan of this team super fun. And it's, I think the irony is, and I'm kind of coming to this realization right now, like this being the highest of stakes, like my expectations are almost as level and, you know, calm as they can be, because they achieved this point, which was like the total ceiling for what I thought was going to happen this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
I will dip back into the Note Nugs mailbag and shout out Steve Baker, who tweeted at us, enjoying the football. And that's where we are. And I think that's what you're saying, Nick, is just we've so far exceeded our expectations and we're so far into gravy land that it's a lot easier to just kind of just be content and happy and watching your team and enjoying some football.
It's super fun being the underdog in this situation, I think, because for a lot of years in a row, the Packers were not, and our collective heart was just ripped out and stomped on. So let's go get it.
I don't think that Jets fans spend too much mental energy worrying about what the Packers are doing. But at some point, they have to be like, we gave up capital to get this guy who's basically brought all this unwanted attention to our franchise, dug us probably an even greater hole financially too, and also that you could move on to a quarterback who's better than he is already and have a better season than you had with him. Yeah. Like, that's insane.
I'll give myself a preemptive ding and put a coin in the jar. But I was thinking about this recently with Rodgers on McAfee and the whole Kimmel thing, and just like thinking about how he injured himself, you know, on the first series. And if you're a Jets fan, you know, at the end of this coming off season, you will have gotten 18 months of all of the off-season Rodgers stuff and none of the on-field stuff, literally none of it.
All of the stuff that we hated dealing with and none of the fun stuff, which was reflecting on how all of his great throws, like being absolutely in awe at his efficiency numbers, et cetera, et cetera. You get all of the baggage, none of the good stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, to the note Nuggie brought up, enjoying the football, like, look, I'm always going to some degree, enjoy watching the Packers even when it sucks. But, like, it is so fun now. Because the focus is on the play. Like, it, and it wasn't always that way. Like, towards the end of the Rodgers era, it wasn't necessarily, you know, it was really hard to block out all the extra noise that came with the, you know, the interviews with, you know, the McAfee and a cutoff and the stoic AJ Hawk. I love that that's taken this long to become like a
Stonehenge AJ Hawk
on the internet.
People
by
are
the
finally
way.
Like, what do you do here, AJ Hawk?
Like, enough eyes are now on Rodgers because he's gone far enough off the rails and started to, like, you know, penetrate into Hollywood and all that stuff with his craziness, that people are finally noticing that AJ Hawk is a non-speaking role in an audio medium.
Yeah. Like, he's basically an Easter Island statue with a stogie.
Yep.
All right, guys. Why don't we head on over to Degenerate Corner, step on out, and it's a special edition of Degenerate Corner. Oh, almost stepped on some gum there. Oh, there's a guy peeing on the sidewalk. All right, let's pull into the alley here. Special edition today.
Into the alley here.
Because I wanted to revisit our season-long props to see to see how we did.
Ooh,
now that the
like
season
it.
Has
like
officially
it.
Ended. So we'll go scroll back up to the top of our dock here. And first one up, what do we got? Packers win-loss over under 7.5. I took the under. You guys banged the over on that one.
Yes.
See, I was team 6 wins is all I need from the very beginning. So I'm on cloud 9. I'm happy to be wrong about this one, but you guys are in the money there.
Yeah. What's crazy is it took, 3-4 weeks ago. Didn't even think it was a possibility. So we're in the money, baby. We love it.
Next one up is Christian Watson touchdown over under 4.5. I think we squeaked in. Did he get?
Is that true?
Did he have 5?
I think really?
Yes, I think he has 5.
Please Let's hold. See. He does. Yeah. Yes. How?
That's so awesome. That's unbelievable.
5 with only 28 catches. That's amazing.
28 catches, 5.
He
touchdowns.
Only has 28 catches this year.
Yeah, guy's never playing, man.
I guess he never
like
plays.
400 yards.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's amazing.
Jordan Love touchdowns 21.5.
Oh yeah,
hanging the over on that.
I mean,
one.
Insulting.
Excellent. Love it.
Unbelievable.
High. Next up on the list, Romeo Doubs receiving yards 550.5. Where do we land on that one?
I think he's got over 600.
Yeah, Romeo Doubs has 674 receiving yards.
Nailed it.
Are his touchdowns on there? No. So like it's, no. I don't know, I'm not spoiling anything when I say 8 touchdowns as well. Not a bad not return bad, for Mr. Romeo. Bad.
All right. We nailed that one.
Look at our optimism coming to fruition.
Yeah. Here's where, let's see. AJ Dillon rushing touchdowns over under 6.5. That's a lofty goal. We didn't hit that, right? Three? How many rushing touchdowns?
I doubt it. I mean, like, I don't even remember. He had two.
But let's see. You took, Alex, you took the under. Nick, Mr. Optimism with the over.
Did I take a single under? Probably
no.
Not.
No.
Overall,
I mean, that's the only under I took. So,
well, yeah, you're batting 1,000 so far, AP.
Yeah, Zach also took the under on Dillon. So, props to you. I think those were all of our season long props, right?
That's it.
There we go. It.
Great job, everybody. We're in the money.
For sure.
I gotta tell you, 6 weeks ago, it's not looking so good on some of these.
Yeah. Nope.
Do we have anything for the Cowboys game yet? It's Wednesday evening as we record.
I've got two
this.
Nominations that I've thrown on the spreadsheet. Nick, yeah, I know you could pull up DraftKings and look. The great thing about it being a playoff game is there's going to be like an abundance of props you can take. There are some already, but not that many. So there will probably be many more that I do take, but I did already place some American dollars on the ones I'm going to nominate right now. So, and then I'm going to explain to you why, and it will be like my concise preview of the entire game. I kind of like Jordan Love passing yards and rushing yard combo. So they have these stat combos for the quarterbacks. So Jordan Love passing and rushing yard combo, 257.5. Kind of high, but I think I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
And I'm going to factor in, you know, the probably 15 rushing yards of Jordan Love rushing that I would take the over on anyway. I'm very excited to see this man perform in the playoffs.
It feels high for a betting line, but I love your optimism.
And then Dak Prescott, same bet, passing and rushing yard combo, 297.5, 40 yards more.
Ooh.
I'm taking the under. And I think, if I had to guess, that the Packers' approach to this game is going to be to run the ball a decent amount, try to establish the run, try to limit the amount of possessions and time that Dak is on the field, more specifically probably CeeDee Lamb on the field. Plus, playoff Dak has a tendency sometimes to not be so great. I think they may do well to, you know, bring some pressure. But overall, I think it's going to be about the way the Packers are going to approach it offensively. Now, that might detract a little bit from the Jordan Love over thing, but I also think establishing the run sets up the play action pass and some downfield shots that I know Matt LaFleur is going to take in this game because he likes to, you know, Jordan likes to let it fly a little bit sometimes, you know? So
I have heard that.
That's what I'm going with. Those are my nominations. And I'll be totally honest. There was no Wix prop when I looked so far.
That's our weekly Wix watch.
There's a lot of Cowboys player props, but I think that's because there's less uncertainty around who's playing and who's not. Whereas like with the Packers, like you can't really establish the Wix line without knowing if Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs are going to play, et cetera, et cetera. So not that many player props for the Packers outside of Love so far, but those are my nominations. Like them, hate them, nominate your own. That's all I've got.
So there was one, at least one Wix prop that I stumbled upon.
Ooh.
And it was anytime touchdown plus 320. Now, is he going to find the end zone again?
Oof, oof,
after two last week?
I mean, if he's the next Devontae Adams, that release off the line, I mean, he'll always find the end zone, won't he?
It's a sure bet.
So I'm not positive if I'm taking that one. I wish I wasn't even anticipating so many lines being already out, having it be the playoffs. So I wish I would have looked a little closer, but there's one that I do like. It's the pass attempts. Dak Prescott over under is 34.5 and Jordan Love is over 35.5. I think Prescott smashes over 34.5 pass attempts. If it's going to be a shootout, like, they're going to throw the ball all over the place. So I would take that. And you're right, like, no receiving prop for Wicks yet, but is it going to be the CeeDee Lamb game? He's probably getting over 100 yards. Like, it's probably happening. It's at 96. It's at 96.5. It could be like a Brandon Cooks situation too, but I think the obvious guy would be Lamb. I kind of want to take Aaron Jones rushing 69.5. Like, are they just going to be throwing it all over? Is it going to be catch up? Like, it depends on how the game plays out.
Yeah.
So I probably stay away from that.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Wicks touchdown plus 320.
I mean, for plus 320, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it on. And I'm going to take better touchdown threats in the game.
Right.
In this game, not like the game, like the sport.
Yeah.
Not yet.
CeeDee Lamb first touchdown's not a bad bet. I've made some good money on that throughout the years. But I'm not going to take that. I'm taking Dak Prescott over 34.5 pass attempts. And I'm taking Dontayvion Wicks to find the end zone. And a Packers victory? I don't know. 7.
Come on, man.
Or at least 7.5 points. That's a lot of points.
Yeah. I don't know, man. The mentality seems really good. Like, I think they're hungry and they're not just like, oh, we're so lucky to be here. There is the we're playing with house money thing. Yeah. Weirder things have happened.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think it was the Green 19 pod, Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein talking about sort of the vibes of these two teams heading into this game. And like, the Packers are, yeah, they're playing with house money. They're loose. They're young. They're just hyped that they're winning. They're having fun. On the other side, you've got the Cowboys, who are a better team, but there's a tightness over there. And it starts up at the coaching staff. You've got the pressure from Jerry Jones. It's, you know, always looming over you. And we're very fond of Mike. And I think, you know, McCarthy, and I think that he's done a great job there, but in Jerry world, you're never more than a loss or two away on the big stage from getting the axe. And I think, you know, you always got to view it as a must win situation in the playoffs. So the vibe there is probably a little bit tighter. Vibes don't necessarily win football games, though. I'm curious what you guys think a winning effort from the Packers looks like here. I think that my thinking is that if the Packers can be plus two in the turnover battle and they can win time of possession, then they can find a way to win a close game, like an annoyingly close game, like 28-27 or something like that.
If they're up two in the turnover battle, that would be great. I think that's probably got to be a key. And I think establish some of the run with Jones. Like, it's potentially the last game of the season. He should not be on a pitch count. Like, have him everywhere in your offense and try to control time of possession. The less time they have on the field, the less opportunity, obviously, things have from getting out of hand. So yeah. I would agree with you. And it's going to take probably three spectacular Love throws that are like, holy hell, how did he do that?
Yeah.
And I agree with all of that. And the only thing I would add is the approach from our guy, Joe Barry.
Yeah.
Needs to be one of, you know, we got nothing to lose as well.
Yeah.
Like, there is no shame if CeeDee Lamb beats you deep.
That's like, yeah, I agree with that.
I would rather make Dak Prescott have to make a bunch of really good throws downfield,
right,
and make it easy for him. Like, dude, let Jair loose, man. Screw it. Like, who knows how long he's going to be around the franchise. Just let that monster go. Like, let him do his thing. Let him chat his shit and like get in people's heads. And you know, if you're gonna like, you know, win the turnover battle and possibly create a turnover or two that could swing the game, you have to be aggressive.
Yeah.
And there were times in the Bears games they weren't, and then there were times in the Bears game that they were. So I was very happy about that. But there were still a few times I'm like, why are we not challenging on the line of scrimmage? We know that they can't beat us downfield. And if they do, who gives a crap? Our season's on the line.
Well, I do think against the Bears and against the Vikings, so these last two games, Joe Barry has done a better job of calling more of a mix of zone and man, and then throwing in some pressures there. To your point, Alex, maybe not as much as we might like to see on certain plays, but the Cowboys are that's a much different offensive animal than these last two teams we just played.
Absolutely, but you know, again, like if you're going to force mistakes, it's not going to happen by keeping everything in front of you. And I just don't think they stand a chance at winning. If that's, I would almost rather get beaten with big plays so we could get the ball back quicker and have them just dominate the possession and just slowly bleed us to death.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've seen enough like out of a Carrington Valentine. We know what Jair can do. Like if they're not playing scared, if they're up, not keeping everything in front of them, but taking some risks, I don't mind going down swinging that way. It's just those chunk plays over the middle of the field. Like they're going to be spread out. So, you know, there's going to be CeeDee Lamb's going to get open on a couple crossers. Like that's bound to happen. But it's fine. Like we'll get beat on some of that stuff, but just don't play scared.
Who is the, sorry, I don't know why I'm just nominating things to elongate this episode. But much to Zach's point about like what the Packers win looks like, who's the player that like you feel like could and needs to have like just like his game? I feel like this could be a I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for like a Rashawn Gary game.
Okay.
Like I could see him like making a game changing strip sack.
Yeah.
And he's just an absolute animal.
Well, and that's, you know, that's contained in my +2 turnover battle stipulation. You know, they gotta, you know, whether it's a pick or two, as you pointed out, Alex, the Dak prone to that in the postseason, it seems. And we know McCarthy is going to want to throw it all game long. So, yeah, is there going to be an Allentine of the week with a pick? Is it a strip sack situation? One way or another, we gotta make Dak turn the ball over.
Yeah. Yep. That and third and longs, like just getting home. Like no Tommy Cutlets, not touching the quarterback. Like there have
why
to
you gotta
be
do
like
that? Why you gotta do that to me?
I don't know. Like there's gotta be like 4 or 5 sacks in this game. That would be great.
Yeah. Or at least some pressure.
Oh yeah, it sounds like we need a lot of things to happen for this.
That's
to go
my
right.
That's my point. That's my point. Yeah. I'm not sitting here be like, yes, they're gonna get 2 interceptions and
they're
gonna run the ball down their throat and everything's gonna be great. It's like, no, the Cowboys are gonna score at least 24 points, maybe as many as 40. It's gonna be like
it could get turned on its head real quick.
Yeah,
and we just got to be open to accepting that if it happens. But we've seen all of these things that we've talked about come together throughout the season, so it could happen.
Damn right. It could happen. And with that, we're going to hit the polka. One final note nug from Ryan who tweeted in, what a stupid season. Let's keep it going. That's how I feel. It's all gravy. We're riding the gravy train to Footballville. I don't know. Where are you guys watching the game? You guys watching together?
We're gonna have to watch together, but I think we're too afraid to watch out in public, so it's gonna be at one of our homes.
Yeah, last time we went to Tom and Jerry's, it was a bit of a meltdown, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll have to call it quits on Tom and Jerry's for the rest of this season, I think, and then maybe give it a shot next
at
year.
Least, yeah.
I will be on my couch. Excited, pleased as punch to be watching postseason football again, much to the chagrin of every other fan of every other team in the NFC North. The Packers did again. Good stuff. Oh, one more thing before we go. I wanted to announce the winner of the Pick'em League is Ben Manthi or Manth. Get at me if I mispronounced your name. I have your email address, so I will reach out to you about sending you a prize. Thanks to everyone who played. I almost won. I was almost the top number one place this last week. Actually, he knocked me out. So,
Good for you for keeping up with it.
Well, I run the damn thing.
I did keep up with it and still finished 15th.
15th. League average.
You know, could have been better.
Not so bad.
It's okay.
All right. Congrats to Ben. Thanks to everyone for playing. And yeah, we're going to call it quits on this episode. Keep it locked into the Acme Packing Company podcast feed. We'll have Justice and a guest later this week previewing the McCarthy Bowl. And as always, keep up on the blog, acmepackingcompany.com, for all your Packers needs. And yeah, playoff football. Let's go, baby.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.